two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The New Orleans Police Department has made a pretty major announcement of how they're going to approach policing. They're going to hire dozens of civilian cops that can actually start pulling people over.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
This is both a great idea, but I think it's going to turn out terribly. Like, there is no way the civilian cop, quote unquote cop, doesn't abuse his power. Like, there
oh,
is.
Oh, you think that's going to be the issue?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
I would,
that's where your mind went.
You give me a little power, I will absolutely unwield it.
Here's where my mind went. If some Joe Schmo or Dave Noriega pulls me over, there ain't no way I'm paying that ticket. There's no way. I'd laugh that off so quickly. Like, who are you? Who are you? So let's dive into this story and really have a discussion about, is this the best answer to our shortage with policing? Police departments all over Utah are having the same problem police departments all over the nation are having, hiring people, keeping them on board. In fact, New Orleans PD is lowering its standards on like background checks to get people on board. But they're also going to be hiring average citizens, the average person, to help with the officer shortage. And some of the duties would be this, Dave. You'd sit at the police station, call it the cop shop, and you'd monitor phones and online reports as they came in. You could also issue traffic citations. And you could patrol or survey major events like Mardi Gras, the Essence Festival. And you might be even doing some investigative work like evidence gathering. You could be on the evidence gathering team. You'd be an evidence gathering like technician. There's Dave Noriega. You're putting the little markers out at the. What do you think of this?
I'm intrigued because I think there's a lot of police officers that end up doing the work of a civilian, like something that you and I could reasonably do. I would love to free up officers to do the important stuff.
Like investigations?
Absolutely. Hardcore investigations, respond to those 911 calls, have more time to respond to those 911 calls where they're not just going from, you know, call. If there's something that we could do as civilians and not be whatever deputized law enforcement, then why not?
Here's what else you'd be responding to. When you signed up for this gig, this would be a side hustle though for you, because there's no way you could do this full time. I think this would be a good side hustle for you. Securing loose pets.
Isn't that what animal control is?
No, or? That's what you'd be doing.
Okay.
Gathering evidence.
I'm afraid of dogs, but that's fine.
Talk about that.
Gathering evidence is weird, too.
No, like, it'd be like, gets to trial, and it'd be like, how come your fingerprints are all over this evidence, Noriega? That's weird. Responding to forgeries. So retail stores and stuff, you'd be walking in there.
Okay, this is an interesting one. When you say responding to forgeries, George Floyd was police officers responding to a forgery.
Okay.
You can see how it turns.
This flips.
This is what's kind of scary, and also maybe why it works is because traffic citations.
Yeah. You have to, you have to go out and secure a loose dog, and the dog dies in your custody. And then all of a sudden, you got protesters on your front yard. Yeah, you're right. It turns in on a dime. How about responding to medical episodes? No thanks. No thanks.
Yeah.
My son just became a paramedic, from an EMT to a paramedic, and the amount of schooling that he had to go through to get that certification is impressive. And it also instills in me that I don't want just anybody showing up to my medical episode.
But I wonder if, I would imagine there would be some standards, right? So say you're a retired doctor or nurse, or maybe you just don't have a full-time job as a paramedic, then maybe this is somewhere you could step in and be helpful. I don't think they're going to let Dave Noriega, they can barely put a Band-Aid on. I don't think they're going to be like, hey, Dave, there's like a heart attack up the street. Will you go check on that? This guy just cut off his arm, you know, chopping down trees. Can you go throw a tourniquet on that?
This kind of sounds familiar. So New Orleans PD is dealing with 11-minute response times for priority calls. And the chief is trying to get that into the single digits. Yeah, that would be good. Get there faster, please.
Hey, so I'm being robbed. Hey, we'll see you in 11 minutes.
So here's so obviously if they hire, they're trying to hire between 50 and 75 civilians. They're trying to hire 50 to 75 Dave Noriegas. Oh, actually, you don't have to be Dave Noriega. You could be...
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Bruce Banner?
You could be Lou Ferrigno. He was... He served as a reserve deputy in California and Texas.
The Hulk?
Yeah.
How about that former bodybuilder rolling in?
Here's this one. Remember this? Name for it. Eric Estrada, he was a reserve officer with the St. Anthony Police Department in St. Anthony, Idaho.
That's incredible. Number one, can I just go back to Chips just really quickly?
Yes,
that was the worst motorcycle riding in history. Like, you look now, that was so boring. Look at us make a right turn at 35 miles an hour.
Made me watch.
Hold on, folks. Punch.
Shaquille O'Neal, what do you think of Shaq? Sworn in as a deputy marshal in Lafayette, Louisiana. Also a sheriff's deputy in Clayton County, Georgia, and a reserve officer in California, Florida, and Arizona. He's a busy guy. Recently sworn in as honorary deputy at St. Martin Parish Sheriff's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq.
Shaq. Mm-hmm. Shaq Daddy is 7 feet, 1 inches tall. Yeah. He is every bit 400 to 450 pounds. He is Andre the Giant. He's the largest man I've ever seen in person. If he tells me to do anything, with a deputy's badge or not, I'm doing it.
Elvis?
Stop it.
Denver and Memphis. Denver and Memphis. How about the mailman?
Karl Malone?
Yeah, Karl Malone. He was a deputy sheriff during the summer of 1986. Counseling with prisoners, helping kids in trouble. Obviously in Utah, right?
That's pretty cool.
Utah.
I didn't know the mailman was a deputy sheriff.
So you too could be just like...
Ponch.
Ponch would be a...
Was it John? Ponch and John? Am I remembering that
John,
right?
John, yeah. Yeah. What do you think of this? I want to ask this question. If Dave Noriega... Pancho Villa or Lou Ferrigno pulled you over at a traffic stop, would you even take that seriously? So what are your thoughts? Do you trust the average Joes, the Dave Noriegas, to be good cops? Even though they haven't gone through the police academy. I mean, you're just like...
I'm sure there would be training, though.
I don't know. This story doesn't talk about that. I would hope so. 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Looking forward to taking your live calls next.
Dujanovic.
Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions.
Dave and Dujanovic.
It's time for Dave and Debbie Dipper.
You are a child's plaything.
You are a sad, strange little man.
They differ daily.
Let me make this perfectly clear. There's no way that I would sign up to be a citizen cop, which is what the New Orleans Police Department is looking at doing. 50 to 75 civilians as acting as police officers. No, thank you.
How about CSI? Like evidence collection. Would you do that? If you didn't have to interact with anybody.
I don't even want to paw over online reports or sit at the cop shop and take phone calls. I want to leave that to the trained professionals.
I'm sure there would be some training.
I would not even take you seriously if you badged me on a traffic stop.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
You think so? This is what New Orleans PD is looking to use these civilians for. And by the way, we're taking your live phone calls, 801-575-TALK. Are you with me? I mean, there's just no way I could take somebody seriously if Dave pulled me over in a smart car and be like, well, this is a huge eyeball roll, right? This is some, am I being, you know, is this a, like I'm on canny camera? What is going on here? So one of the things you do is collect evidence potentially or go to the scene. You would potentially pull speeders over. You would sit and answer phone calls. And in fact, we were just talking that a number of really famous people, Karl Malone being one of them, have been kind of like deputized or worked with law enforcement. Eric Estrada of Chips. We've got Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, he's been sworn in as a deputy marshal, it seems like, all over the country. Elvis Presley. I can just say Elvis. You probably know who I was talking about. Denver and Memphis, I'm going to guess. Dan Aykroyd, where's our Ghostbusters? Where's our Ghostbusters theme, guys? 2 decades as a reserve officer in Louisiana, and then he's like, I'm going over to Mississippi now.
Yeah, that sounds like it was legit. Like he really actually served the community. I think anything we can do to ease the burden on our officers, because right now they're overwhelmed. We talk to them all the time, and they are going from call to call to call to call. And even the priority one calls, I was trying to remember how long it takes in the Salt Lake
I just pulled up their report online. Salt Lake City Police Department puts all of their response times online. And in July, their priority one, the average response time was 11 minutes and 27 seconds.
Okay,
so it's right in line with what New Orleans is experiencing.
Exactly. That's 11 minutes, and priority one is, hey, folks, this isn't like someone broke my window. This is I'm actively being robbed. Someone is breaking into my house. Something serious has happened. Having to wait for 11 minutes, that is, and that's on average, right? I mean, they may arrive at 5 minutes in one place, and it takes them 20 minutes in another. That is, I think, something we need to really address. And I kind of like the outside-the-box thinking. You know, let's tap into the civilian market. Here's your side hustle.
Jared from Mapleton.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, good morning. So Dave Noriega pulls you over in his red smart car, tries to issue you a traffic citation. What do you think about that?
Hey, for the record, if Dave pulls me over, I'm going to listen. I'll accept the ticket. I'll pay it without fight. But here's the thing. Dave's a good guy. And I think, you know, I think civilians pulling over civilians is just an opportunity for road rage at arm's length.
Ah,
I could see it.
You know, you're frustrated because someone cut you off. So you pull them over.
I did. Thanks, Jared, for your phone call and food for thought. I did ask Dave earlier when we were offline. I said, have you ever pursued anybody or tried to make a citizen's arrest? I don't even know how that would go down legally, but you said no.
No, of course
and
not.
And I, of course, stood up and said, well, I have. I got hit from rear-ended slightly at an intersection, 21st South and 7th East in the South Salt Lake area in the early 90s.
Okay.
And it was at night. And I got bumped from behind. And this woman swerves out from beside me. I was waiting to turn left onto 2100 South from 7th East. And this woman swerves out from behind me, cuts across like all lanes of traffic and makes her left-hand turn. And she's trying to get away.
Like, clearly you were hit.
I'm not making this up. I was hit. And so I give chase. Like you do.
You're chasing down the person, the runaway.
And it is like, yeah, she's fleeing the scene. And obviously it's like now it's become a hit and run. And she doesn't live very far. And I'm not sure what her like her MO is for doing this because it's almost like literally two blocks later it's a right and then another right and she's in her driveway. Well, I block her in her driveway.
No, you did not.
Did so.
What do you mean you blocked her?
And this was about 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, what do you do now, Deb? And she gets out of the car and she grabs her purse under her arm and she slowly walks into the house. And I look and I'm like, she's late 70s. I'm sure she's driving around 21st South, you know, in the sky right now. That's how old she was. She's gone on to greater things. And the cop shows up because I don't remember. I think somebody called from the answer. This is pre-cell phones. I don't think I had a cell phone back then. And then the police officer says, don't ever do that again.
Not your job.
Yeah, that's not your job.
Yeah, not your job.
Just don't. More phone calls. 801-575-TALK.
Tamara in Draper, are you stopping for, I mean, not me specifically, but civilian Dave?
No, I can't even believe. No, I have to tell you, I lived in the middle of a bunch of acres. And one night there was a knock on the door and the people went, police, open the door. And I looked out and I saw a guy and a girl standing there in plain clothes. And I said, I'm not opening the door.
Ugh.
But then I looked around my area and there were like 7 cop cars out there. That made me think that maybe this was real.
Okay.
And there were some escaped convicts there or whatever.
Wow.
So anyway, no, I'm not stopping for anybody that I don't know. I think policemen, most of them are very good, but you have to be careful about some policemen even for that matter. But no, I am definitely not stopping.
Tamara, thank you. That you just reminded me of something. My mom was being pulled over by a police officer, but the vehicle that he was in was kind of, it didn't look like a police car. It was all black. It was late at night, SUV, and the lights, the red and blues, didn't look like it was kind of one of the new ones, and it didn't look like what she expected, and it freaked her out. She's like, what do I do? I don't think this is a cop. Maybe this is the red and blues of purchased off Amazon. I don't know, but she was nervous, and I can see that would be very problematic. I wouldn't want, you know, my wife, my daughter, anyone pulling over because that could be abused in quite easily.
I want to tee you up on another point you made, and I thought it was an excellent point. And you said, why would we hire civilians to do the job that technology could do?
Yes. Yeah, I think so often we think the solution is more bodies, more bodies, more bodies. You wouldn't even need to interact. You have a video camera. You have a radar gun. You could easily record all of this.
Like a photocop.
Exactly.
With a human behind.
Yeah, photocop with a human.
Right.
If you remove the interactions and you're very clear with people, this is what's happening. This is the new law. This is acceptable. I think technology solves some of this problem. The scary part is the interactions, and that's kind of the common theme I think we've heard from our callers, is the interactions, the civilian-to-civilian interaction where you're writing somebody a ticket, that has the potential to be inflammatory. That could be problematic. Well, if you're doing it behind a desk or behind a screen where they don't see you, there's not that interaction, I totally see this working.
For news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Smartin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.